What is up, fellow humans and mutants alike? My name is Kyle. I am with the mighty Danny. Once again, we are trekking through Reign of X, and we are running out of comics, Danny. There's like three left, right?
Oh my God, what are we going to do, Kyle? Yeah. What are we going to do?
Yes, but today we are going through New Mutants, issue number 15. We got Ayala, I can't pronounce it. I always fuck it up. Vita Ayala. And we got Reyes back on the artwork again. How do you like Ayala so far? We only have two issues of her work, so I guess that's very unfair to say. But overall, I'm getting similar vibes. I don't know if it's because the story's just more or less staying the same, or if, you know, she's, you know, a you know, that type. A Nebraska type, if you will, not to be rude.
We were talking about this earlier. It's better than what Brisson was putting out, but not in a way that is grasping, in a way that is enough of a change of pace to really pull me back into it. It definitely seems like it's trying to do too much while at the same time not really sticking the landing on a lot of those things. But art-wise, you know, Ray has been there from the beginning. Yeah, we've had our back and forth on that. It's better than Flaviano. I'll be 100% about that. I did not like Flaviano. I did not like Brisson and Flaviano working together. I thought that was a double down on that. So this artwork is definitely one of the more stalwart parts of New Mutants. But the character portrayals and the trying to pull from so many other stories at once and not really following up on any of the better parts that we liked in the beginning of New Mutants, what Reyes' artwork was doing with Hickman's writing, I feel this is all become much more labored, and it's losing me a lot. It's not pulling, like I said, Wolverine and X-Force on.
Which is, I agree 100%. It's definitely not pulling, but which is fine for me. If they're going to make this move, go 100%. Don't, like, hang out on the fence. You know, you got Cannonball, and you got Sunspot, and it seems like they're doing more stuff in the X-Men comics, so that's fine. You got some of the core people from New Mutants that I enjoy moving over to what seems to be more X-Men-heavy stuff, especially if they're going into space. And then if you're going to take that, you're going to focus on, like, new children mutants and, like, these newer New Mutants teams, go full, like, you know, go full silly and, like, children and talk about your identities and whatnot. But don't play the game where you're playing both fields, you know?
I'm just a little perplexed on this, like, this weird left turn into, like, let's do a slice of life on teenage Genosian children. Like, nameless dead teenage Genosian children. Is that what you want to read about when you come to New Mutants? Because that's what we got for you.
That's what you're going to get. We're going to get a lot of that. We're going to get a lot of feelings that are going to be hurt in this issue. A lot of emotions are high. Bullies are bad. Logic seems to be bad because apparently Cosmar seems to want an outcome where it's just like, nah, man, that doesn't make logical sense, but thanks for thinking of me. And then she gets upset, and it's weird. But we'll talk more about that. But this is all more or less the story is taking place at and before Bay and Doug's kind of a reception to their wedding, which is what this is all leading up to for the most part. I guess you could say that's the background of this entire story.
Which the wedding seems to have been stretched out in such a weird way and played out in such a weird way. It's hard to tell how long. It seems like Doug's wedding process has taken place during like two crossover events at this point now. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how long is this dude's fucking marriage? Is he gonna tell, or his wedding? Like, how long is this dude's wedding supposed to be?
He's just having a good time, man. He's alive. He's just enjoying life now, you know? Fuck it.
My wedding lasts 2 months. Let's do this, people.
You know, everyone knows about Warlock now, so he's not hanging out on his arm anymore. He has free time.
It's great. He's a Pegasus on the cover.
He is a Pegasus on the cover. The cover is great. It has nothing to do whatsoever with this issue, but the cover itself is beautiful. I love it. We got the key players in here. We got Rain, Honey Badger. Is that Warpath in the background? Yeah, he shows up, I guess.
Yes, but why is he wearing sunglasses? Or is that just subterfuge?
I think it's his paint, his face paint, his old school face paint. Right, I assumed?
Yeah, that's possible, but it almost looks like really weird subterfuge.
It just looks like laziness. She didn't want to draw pupils. So I'm just going to draw. I'm just going to draw this blob and be done with it. A lot of artists are doing that and getting away with it too often these days, which for a background like a background figure and a piece, you know, that has 20 pages or 20 panels or something like that. Sure. But on a cover artwork, I don't know. I feel like there should be, the cover art is always a higher standard though, right, to the actual issue. So I feel there's definitely step up your game a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's supposed to be the, like, they could sell the issue alone off of the cover art if they do a good enough job.
Exactly.
So I feel like it's paramount to kind of bring your A game here because you could be the entire purchase. So why drop the ball on that? And yeah, we do get a big lie here because we don't get any of these characters throwing down against Cosmos at all. And we don't even get Warpath in uniform. He's still dressing like he's wearing
the tank top basketball coach or whatever. Yeah.
Or player, like those hot pants are out of control.
Yeah.
I've seen way too much thigh.
It's insane.
When Warpath said he was gonna reveal his insides, he wasn't kidding. But then you get Magic being some sort of babysitter here and like playing, I don't know, duty, like some sort of duty aid at like a school playground. It's bizarre. It's not the writing you want for Magic. You want her to be more outspoken and in the like cut of battle. They started to kind of play with that in X of Swords and bring it back as like a focus, but immediately once we got back to this New Mutants writing with her, it's like what they were doing earlier with Brisson. Don't like this portrayal of Magic. Put her back in the Hickman writing where they're in space dealing with all the crazy stuff in the Shi'ar Empire. Like, she was fine with that.
And do you understand this forced narrative they're doing with Honey Badger where no one's giving her like attention? Like, why is no one giving her attention? Like, it's forced for this issue. It's like no one needs to be treating her like this, but the narrative needs it for some reason. Which, why does the narrative need her to not be like seen or heard at this moment? But yeah, we get a lot of that as well. A lot of feelings hurt in this. A lot of feelings.
Yeah, it did seem like that was shoehorned in there, and they kept replaying. Like, well, she's like, I'm a clone of a clone of a clone. The clone thing, we're still talking about that. But it's like they're really dragging out that emotional pull on that for too long to the point where it's like, okay, we get it. Yeah, you're a clone of a clone. But if you're going to bring that up every issue, it almost seems like you're really trying to hand fist that out there. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of emotions being thrown around here, but let's get into it, shall we? Mm-hmm. We start at Krakoa, the Academus habitat, and it's on fire. It's destroyed. It's like it's in rubble. Shit went down. Yeah, got a little out of hand apparently, and we get Magic, and she's just like, "What the fuck happened here?" Literally, she cursed at the children.
She did.
She's asking everyone. Everyone's kind of silent. She's calling out everyone's names. Still, no one's talking. And more or less, they wanted a fort, right? But then they essentially, kids being kids, they we're getting a lot of what is that book called again? We were talked about it before with the children and the conch and.
Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies moments here where children being left at their own like devices doing some shit. But, you know, Lord of the Flies with mutant powers, which is even more frightening.
Apparently all these kids had like a run-in with, was it Cosmos and Noel and... Was it the water?
The water, dude. Water. I think it's Rain Boy.
I keep on saying Water Boy.
And then the brain thing, which I always forget.
No Girl.
Yeah, fuck.
Never forget about No Girl.
I always forget about No Girl. That's the irony. God. Yes, and if we remember last time, that gang kind of stumbled into a cave, and that's when they ran into the Shadow King. Apparently, maybe his kind of shenanigans are at play here. Potentially.
Well, he does seem like he's manipulating them in some way, but almost in like a playful way where it's a seeded manipulation.
Exactly.
Slowly growing over time. And you see a lot more of it play out in this issue and kind of how everyone handles things. Specifically, how No Girl doesn't say much, but Rain Boy and Anol do kind of get more kind of warped mind responsive throughout the issue. And you could, and they kind of push people away, but also focus on their main objective. That starts to become more prevalent.
Yeah, and essentially, what happens. She's trying to teach a lesson to these children that, like, it doesn't matter that this is not against the law, because essentially they did damage, and essentially this Anole-looking motherfucker is like, what happens between, he's like scared, and he's like, essentially he doesn't want whatever, he doesn't want them to come back and do it again, more or less. And and essentially she's telling him to keep promises, and
more, yeah, or it's less weird. She wants,
she's
to,
trying to
she
teach
wants
a lesson
to understand, she wants to understand that she hates bullies, and then immediately says, now I'm gonna go bully some people, or yeah, it's, we don't terrorize others, and now I'm gonna go terrorize these people. Because they, not only did they wreck the land, because they, she considers that affront against the law, because they live on Krakoa,
right,
and you're supposed to give and not take from Krakoa. But she also lines it out with, I don't like people terrorizing other people because that's wrong, and I hate bullies. So now I'm going to go terrorize these bullies and bully them. It reminded me of that moment in the third Austin Powers movie with Michael Caine, where he's like, there's only two things I don't like. That's people who are intolerant to other people's cultures and the Dutch.
And the Dutch.
That's one of the funniest fucking things in that entire movie. And it's like, Michael Caine delivers it perfect. And that's what I kept picturing this whole time, where she's like, I hate bullies and people who torment people. Now I'm going to go torment these bullies with my bullying. Later, yeah, kids. And she walks away.
And then she walks away. Yeah. And that's
And you think she's teaching a lesson to these children, but she's not. They're not following it. They don't even seem to understand what's happening.
No, they're not at all. Yeah. They're confused. They don't know what's going on. They're just trying to piece it together and figure it out. But here,
there's all the build up that something weird's going on with Cosmar and Rainboy and Anole and No Girl.
But yeah,
are they getting out of hand? Or are they under the control of the Shadow King?
Womp womp womp. We'll find out as we enter out of the shadows. The New Mutants have been tasked with training the youth of Krakoa, teaching them to use their mutant abilities as individuals and together to find all new ways to combine their powers. But keeping the kids out of trouble will be a tougher task than it might seem, with psychic danger lurking in the shadows in the form of the Shadow King. Which, whoa, yeah, I forgot about that too. Let's talk about Charles fucking just passing the ball off to the New Mutants to figure out what to do with the children. The fuck, man. That's fucked. Like,
not even building like a frame or foundation for them.
No, he's nothing.
Like, there's enough compartmentalization on Krakoa to get that out to someone, like, hey, put together like a dossier on what they should go through and how they should maintain this. How hard is it to like brainstorm something like that? Bitch, I'm sure there's hundreds of mutants capable to like put out some kind of information like that.
He managed and operated his house as a school for decades. This motherfucker might has experience. He needs
the teacher, the headmaster, the PE coach. He was all of it. He couldn't even write up a quick, like, just summary.
Just saw a wiki. Just put a wiki so you don't have to constantly be asked questions. Just be like, go to the wiki. This is where all the information is.
And the Shadow King operating right under Charles's nose. I'm impressed. Like, that, either the Shadow King has stepped up his game or Charles has lowered the bar on his, like, attention to detail here. That's pretty. I mean, he was operating out in Cairo, right? and Charles sniffed him out. I mean, this is right out in the open.
Right,
he's just standing around. And I know he's in people's heads, but at the same time, Charles is able to see all that stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. So step up your game, Charles. Step up your game. But as that's happening, we get kind of... we go back to Cosmar and Anole in that group, and we see the Shadow King lurking in the background as they're kind of fighting. They're going crazy. They're getting out of hand. It seems like I don't know if they're battling each other for reals or just playing around, but essentially she takes it a little too far, and she like does some mind warping nightmare stuff on Anole, and he's just like, this is weird. And, yeah.
And Rainboy has to save him by cushioning his blow as she throws him through the air.
Much.
But this seems like they're play fighting, but the way Shadow King is manipulating them, it's almost as if their play fighting is training. Like, he's training them somehow.
Exactly. They're kind of training it.
And you get this contrast through the whole issue of them training in contrast to all the other New Mutants doing their training. But this is in a different way. So you start to think, all right, well, Shadow King is prepping them for something while turning them into, like, Manchurian candidates for his cause.
Yeah. And as that's happening, we get they're just kind of still battling back and forth, and as it happens, I don't know. Cosmo throws him, and that's what kind of like stops everyone to go like, "Are you okay?" Like she just like I think turned like part of like an attack into like butterflies, and she throws someone, and that's when she's like, "Oh my bad, did I go too far? Are you okay?" I don't know.
I like that creepy face she has too while she's doing it. They're all laughing. It's a very childish moment, it's but weird. I guess that's supposed to contrast like the how nefarious Shadow King is in the background, and these are like carefree children that are pretty much hook, line, and sinker under his power right now.
Yeah.
More. And then he gets in that weird pep talk afterwards. That it just seemed very strange that it ended with that grin.
Right, with him just because the whole pep talk's just like telling them that they were doing good, and then Cosmar's just all like, she's kind of nervous because we're going to find out that she wants to tell Danny something. And Cosmar tells the Shadow King, like, well, you're going to be there, right? I want you to be there. Well, during the event, and that's when he does the creepy grin, and he's just like, I wouldn't miss this for the world.
And then the event is the Crucible. She wants to undergo the Crucible to hopefully correct her weird warping that her mutation did to her body. And it's not that her body's supposed to... This is a weird gray area, because her body's not supposed to look that warped because of her mutation.
Right.
She physically warped herself by accident. And so that's why she looks so alarming. So it's like, well, maybe she should be allowed to undergo it. But the Crucible seems to be hardlined to, you don't have mutant powers. This is to get you to be reincarnated to have mutant.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Which means she needs to mainline some training to her veins quick. Try to figure out how to use... I'm sure her own powers could fix her situation, right? She just needs to...
I mean, she can turn them off and on when she warps reality around her. So maybe she can turn it on to herself and then turn it off immediately.
Exactly.
I mean, if she unwarped things, so she should be able to unwarp herself.
Yeah. So it's I feel like she's just impatient. There's a lot of that where I feel like we're supposed to feel for Cosmar through all of this, but the whole time I'm just like, no, she's a child. She's a little, you know, impatient. She's a little emotional, but she'll understand. Give her time. Give her space. I don't know. That was my whole thing going through it.
Yeah, they definitely, well, her and Scout, they try to mirror each other in like the importance of them trying to grow and struggle with their abilities in their youth and all that, but it definitely becomes a little campy, not in a fun way either, almost like, okay, we get it, you're trying to shove it down my throat. I get it, she's a young struggling mutant. All right, look at now, she's got Shadow King, he's there, he's happy, he's helping. Yeah. I'll be her guardian. You need a guardian? You need a big brother? You got me. Look at this grid.
I got you. Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. But with Cosmar, I don't know. I feel like if she does want, like if that would help so much for her, just someone kill her real quick and give her. Although they don't have her. Do they have her DNA? Like pre?
Yeah, once she enters Krakoa, they do a backup of it. And I think he does, Charles was saying originally, he does like a sonar of the world where he pings the entire world for all the mutants alive and backs them up as well. At least all of the ones he can pick up, I think. Either that or localized on Krakoa. It's either globally or locally.
Gotcha.
My one thing that I walked away from this right away thinking is, okay, there's a lot of rampant plastic surgery nowadays, and I feel like people abuse it for not medical needs. They abuse it for more of just vanity. And I think that this is like becoming a tool of vanity almost. Because, I mean, she looks bad, but she's no glob. And she's we can all agree that.
Right.
She's no glob. So I think if glob can find peace, or beak.
Beak. Yeah, if beak can find beak, yeah. Fucking.
If he can bag.
That abomination.
Then I feel like Cosmo's fine. She's fine. I think it'll be okay. It might be a bit of a reality check, but, you know, you can't give in to every whim of a child.
Right. How many other people are going to... You know how many Morlocks there are? Fuck.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't
On a Morlock level, I mean, and power-wise, it's usually like you get grotesque vassage, but you don't get the powers to match it. like the Warlocks pretty much had. She's got a pretty much almost Omega level power. I think they classified her as Omega level, right? Am I wrong?
I don't know. Did they? I don't know if they classified her, but if she's warping reality on that level, she should be Omega level.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty, pretty similar to Proteus, so I would say she's at least got to be on par with that in some way. But
yeah,
I mean, and that's also concerning that they don't really put a lot of overhead or oversight
on her.
That powerful. Yeah. And it was just like freely able to just like be like subverted by
the Shadow King
without any oversight. But I mean, he does work in mysterious ways and he's pretty tricky, but still, this feels like they dropped the ball here. But I digress. Yeah, it's a weird character development arc for her indeed.
I think they did drop the ball. Just Krakoans in general, Charles, Quiet Council seems to be dropping the ball. I don't know if they're doing this on purpose for story reasons, but
it's weird. They have so many redundancies. It doesn't make sense. Like, there should be no way that this is happening. Yeah. Well, I mean, Sword spent the entire first issue going into how they have all these special backups and all these other things. But then, like, two issues later, it's like everything's falling apart. They're, like, falling into chaos. And they're like, oh my gosh. Like, this foundation that we built that's indestructible got destroyed. How did this happen? Back to the drawing board.
Back to the drawing board. But we cut to the Boneyard, a place I thought we would left. But here we are again, Danny. Here we are. And at the Boneyard, we got freaking Akihito. We got him himself. I can't think of his fucking superhero name right now for some reason. Thank you, Daken.
I'm impressed that you got his regular name. Right? I always forget that.
You get
normal size Daken because for some reason, Reyes decided, you know what? I will draw him proportional and accurate to how he's always looked in the comics.
Yes.
What a crazy radical thought. Mm-hmm. I don't know why an X... Who does X-Factor again? Do you remember? I not like how they really drew
anything. I do not remember, unfortunately.
I think fortunately. Yeah, it might be unfortunate. They overly drew him as some sort of...
Giant.
Kind of like this Jack Beefcake of a monster. And he's never really had a frame that was too radically different from Wolverine. I know Wolverine's shorter, a little more stout, but it wasn't as if it was like a night and day situation.
Right.
He was just a little taller and more broad shoulders. So seeing him, you know, actually drawn in a reasonable manner, nice. Seeing him, though, trying to be more at home slice of life in this slice of life comic, I don't like. Because Daken is a treacherous murderer who's gone to ridiculous lengths to enact crazy things. And I think that puts him on a level that's very akin to someone like Sabretooth. But this big heel turn they did with him just felt so bizarre. It's very uneasy.
It's hard to forget all of that. But he's trying to make his moves right now. And as he's trying to make his moves, Honey Badger just shows up. Or Scout, as they call it, whatever name she goes by now. She just pops up and is like, oh, what's up? How's it going?
What's Kid Omega call her? Pocket size Wolverine?
Pocket size Wolverine? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like pocket Wolverine. Yeah, pocket size Wolverine. Yeah, I like that.
It's great. And she's just trying to do it. She's trying to, you know, find someone to hang out with. But Dagon's not having it. He's mad. He got cock blocked. And essentially, he's just all like, yo, you know, I told you not to come here, and I said we would hang out eventually. And she complains about, like, everyone says eventually, but it never comes. Or so she's all like, it's always
no later. No one has time for me.
Yeah, pretty much. And Daken promises that they'll meet up at the big party tonight and we'll play Claws Out, which... I don't want to know what I guess it's probably that game that they were playing back in Cable issue number one or whatever issue that was. Wolverine issue number one.
Yeah, where they're like, hey, look at our healing factor.
Yeah, they just like weird claw Russian roulette game they play with each other. Fucking savages. Yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah. So they're going to play that. Or at least she says that's what he promises. And she walks away and that's when she's just like, no one wants you to play. Lore would let me play. If that was lore. It pretty much should have just said if that was a man. Lore's not a man. And that's why she would have stayed and played with my claws. I don't know.
He's just, all you care about is your dick.
Which she's not wrong. In this situation, she is absolutely not wrong.
He's like, I got the right pheromones going. I'm trying to bang Aurora over there.
Yeah, Rose, like, hanging out.
Come on, we brought her back from the dead so I could get laid. Like, you don't understand. This has turned into an X Factor issue, and you want no part of this. Get out of here, girl.
Get out, quick.
she just wanders. She saunters off like Bigfoot into the foreground.
Yeah. But then we go to, I guess they're hanging out. I assume they're in the place between Academus Habitat and the Wild Hunt, since they're talking about it.
Isn't that weird? That weird ambiguous training field that they like to meet up in?
Yeah.
And everyone just stands there and looks at Warpath pointing at people and telling them, hey, time for you to get to groups. We're going to work on more combat tactics.
Yes.
And she's just like, I don't want to work on combat tactics. I was bred to be a killing machine in a team of assassins. I'm already good at this. And Warpath's like, that's human logic. You were bred to do what they say. You have to be now trained to do what you want to do and fight on your own instincts with other people who are not assassins, other mutants. She's like, all right, fine.
Yeah, fine. She saunters. And then we get this kind of montage of this training, kind of this training montage. And we get kind of like Rainbow Shark Girl doing a synergy.
Why is there pillars just in the middle of...
of this random area, the hunt in the Agnimus habitat. I don't know. They also have training bars. I guess that makes sense.
They're working on their balance and like blind senses.
It goes from, it's like, it's weird, obscure Mulan training games. And then they do these synergy things. And then they go back to weird. So it's like they do the pillars. Then we get the Rainbow Shark Girl kind of synergy. They play around. Then we go back to training agility assessment where they're just hanging out on monkey bars.
Monkey bars? And it's a bunch of like simian-based mutants? Like how many
simians are there?
Yeah, like how many beast-like monkey mutants are there?
I mean, there's. I guess if there's millions of mutants, there's millions of...
Yeah, but like all these ones, this kind of funny. They're not really that different. they're just different palettes. Like as if they're like, we'll put a different color palette. There's a whole movie, and I'm like, no, they're all pretty much have the same like faces. Like, one of them's got a tail. That's about it. But still, they have that underbite and shit.
He didn't want to stretch. You know, he was creatively. He had limited.
You guys really know how to monkey bar. That's some good agility here.
Good job, the people who are bred to do that evolutionarily. Good, great. You know what? I'm on the side of Honey Badger. This is stupid training.
It really is. Some of the combos get weird. Wait till you see them as they go on. Yeah. That one at the bottom with Tempest and Armor actually was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
That kind of reminded me as like Marvel Ultimate Alliance when you would combine your
attacks. Yeah,
she's doing the fire encased around armor's armor, and essentially, it's just fire armor. It's just her normal power plus fire.
Knocking the shit out of Rainbow.
Yeah, he's evaporating, punching him.
Right, and then we go into endurance training test, which is them climbing a wall. The simian ones again. And
I mean, a vertical.
It's like, okay, again, they could climb, it's cool, whatever. And then we go to two different synergies. We've got Scout and Sprite synergy doing fastball special, which she just throws them her, it looks like,
the wrong way too. On her face.
Yeah. And then we get Cosmar and Null synergy, which they're kind of doing earlier with the Shadow King a little bit, I think, sort of.
It seemed like they were doing more of just like training within their own abilities, not so much synergizing, but it could be more than that. It's been vague so far, so we don't really get the key of what his training is for, though it does mirror this a little bit. But seriously, her synergy with him is, it just turns him into a nightmare looking version of himself, and it's like a scare move. But she doesn't need him to do that. She can just make anything look bizarre and frightening.
Yeah.
She warps reality.
It's like
she doesn't need a palette for him to, or she doesn't need to use him as like a palette. She could have just made nothing look scary.
Exactly.
It would have had the same effect. So really, Noel's not doing anything. He's got the easy job. He just has to stand there.
And she's just like, she gets thrown and lands next to, I guess, some of these simians. And she's like, yo, what's up? Playing it off. And they're like, I don't even know you. I don't even know who you are. And she's just like,
Wolverine's my big, she says Wolverine or Gabby Scout, but then they're like, who's that? And then she's like, Gabby Kinney. And then they're like, who's that? And she's like, Wolverine's my big sister. And like, wait, Wolverine's dude, don't you mean you're Wolverine's little sister? And then they're like, no, or she's like, no, the other Wolverine. And it turns into this who's on first like joke that's been played out way too much already in Excalibur. It starts happening here. Where he's like, oh, that's my quasi, that Wolverine's my quasi dad, or my grandfather, I guess. Or no, I guess her dad. And then she's like, well, the other Wolverine is my quasi sister. And by the end of this, they're like, we don't know who the hell you are. We don't care.
Yeah.
You're a clone of a clone, and that's all we know. So piss off.
And then we have this like weird anime artwork where it's like she's grayed out as he walks away, which I found weird. It just off. It felt off for the, I guess, because it's not very anime art line work. It's very brush heavy, so it feels off.
They're mixing too many different styles into one here. Yeah, definitely. It's not commonplace for what Reyes has been doing in the past, so that was definitely out of place. I get the emotion they were going for, because she definitely tried to Oppression Olympics approach the situation, where she's like, well, I've had such a hard life, and I've dealt with like all these things that were pretty rough, and I've been bred to be like murderer, but you know, I'm trying, you know, to get back out there. And then the guy was like, dude, I was on Genosha, like all me and my family are murdered, and I watched it, and I watched it all play out, and I could do nothing about it. And he just walks off, and that's when it's like, oh, cue the anime subtext. I'm like, what? Oh, this is
But yeah, she's sad, and the other ones are just so like, he'll come around. Don't worry, you tried too hard type of situation.
Yeah, they call her out. It's like, you're really trying too hard here with all this. Like, the over-introduction and the fucking, like, just soapboxing.
Yeah.
Come on.
And Anul kind of comes behind even and gives his little opinion. He's like, that could have gone better. It's like, thanks, Anul. Thanks. Good job. Yeah. Thanks for the feedback.
I'll be fine, everyone.
Then we cut the
emo hair out of her face.
Yeah. Then we cut to a request. It looks like an email from the resurrection request. And this is where we get a Wolfsbane essentially... asking X Factor, putting in a request to get her son back, Tyr, more or less. And we're going to find out soon that that's going to be, it's going to get the giant stamp with the denied stamp on it, you know, the big doof.
I hope Xavier does that himself and just like,
right?
He takes pride in it. He's like, hits it a bunch of times. He's like,
tonight. Oh, that'd be great. It's like an executive order that has to go through his office first. He's like, gotta get my stamp ready. I've been waiting for this all day.
But it's weird because then we progress here to find out that like Renee's baby crazy about her son not being resurrected yet, even though the protocols have to be followed. And she's just losing her mind because she got denied, and it pissed her off because she's like, oh, they said that we haven't proven enough that the child is dead, that maybe the child could just be missing. And it's like she did the same thing that you kind of got in the other X Factor issues when they were doing this. Like, I can't believe it that I don't just get preferential treatment, that kind of whole argument. So it's like, okay, whatever, we've seen this. But why is, you know, Wolfsbane taking this big left turn? Like, why all of a sudden... out of all the issues, is she now freaking out?
Now, just now, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she was resurrected not that long ago, so it's like that kind of approach even makes it seem out of place. You assume she'd just be grateful to be alive again.
You would think, you know, you weren't alive 14 issues ago.
Now she's like, I want to be alive in my perfect
life. Yeah. I mean, this is...
Even though she's partying and boozing it up every night, it doesn't seem to mind until this issue.
Right.
Be mom again.
Right. Now. Right. And we even get this like moment where she's just like the emptiness and all this nonsense. And we get this kind of flashback of her with her child on that weird commune. And then Tyr kind of growing up and then fucking strong man.
such a weird panel of things. Like, it's like, here's pregnant Wolfsbane in chains, like, screaming. Then here's, like, a weird little, like, wolf hybrid puppy baby. And then here's a grown-up version of it standing next to Hel, the Norse Satan, essentially.
Right.
And underneath that, you get strong guy with a pitchfork killing that dude who kind of looks like Wolverine at this point. The kid seems even younger. And I didn't know enough about this backstory to really put any of that together of, like, why this is all significant. But all I know is that exact image of Strong Guy right there is the one I was telling you about. They use that one.
Yep.
When they say, vote for Strong Guy. In the end of the X-Men issue coming up, in the back, they're like, here's the people to vote for. And the fucking portrait is the same one right here. They just close up on his face.
That's and they're funny. Like, vote for
this dude who it's like her memory too. That's the best part. Because the propaganda they use is her flashback. It's like, how do they even know that? How do they know what people are thinking of flashbacks?
Right? How does she know? I sent the what the original stabbing looked like.
Comic came out.
Right.
Oh wow.
That's pretty intense, right?
It is.
Where the one in the flashback just looks like Strong Boy. All right, I'm going to sneak up behind and step.
Yeah, like he's like, hey, I'm here. Ah! They even changed the hoodie. They just put him in like a regular jacket or a long sleeve shirt or something.
Yeah. Huh.
Weird.
Interesting.
They should have used this portrait as his vote for. Just the one from here.
Right.
So then people would be like, what is this random Strong Guy? Oh.
Yeah.
Weird. But yeah, we get more feels. We get more sad people mm-hmm. who like feel alone in this island full of other people because their world is not perfect, even though their world essentially is compared to most people.
Yeah, and it's I get it. It's just driven. You could do this in half a page, not like.
But then it drags on for three pages of Danny going, "Oh my gosh, nothing is more important than what you're feeling right now."
Yes,
and it's just the world may be coming to an end, but you know what? Your kid.
yeah.
Who may or may not be dead.
Yeah, and then karma comes and saves us from this redundant conversation that keeps happening over and over again. And it's just like, we got to get out there, man. The party's about to happen. Let's do this. But she needs a conversation with Danny before that happens. And it more or less is like, yo, Rain, I got to go talk to Danny. Give me Danny. And she gets all like sad, but Danny kind of consoles her. And it's like, it's good. We'll meet at the party. You're going to be there, right? And kind of pushing her. It's like, you're going to be there, right? Hint. She's like, yeah, I'll be along soon type of situation.
And they draw her standing
sad.
Now
this is good Reyes right here. Like,
yeah.
Don't go.
Amazed for being alone. Yeah, definitely
don't,
did a good job
of. Don't go anime. Do this. Do your weird abstract artwork, which I dig. Those are your strong suits. Yeah, exactly. I am into it. And yeah, she says yes, but she's very sad as the artwork conveys, which I dig. I dig that. Then we go to the journals of Amal Farouk, and. What do we get here? What do we learn from this, more or less? Anything? Anything new from the Shadow King?
It's mostly just him kind of going over his abilities and the pride he takes mm-hmm. into him and how he's crafted them over the years. It seems like it's kind of mirroring what's going on with what he's doing with those individuals that he's taken under his wing and trying to mold.
Exactly. Yeah.
Plus, this also touches on a lot of that stuff that they brought up last time when we got his kind of prequel, his quasi-retcon origin.
Kind of a retcon where
it's the Shadow King. As a mutant kid who grew up, but I always thought that the Shadow King was like a primordial being.
Right.
Before, and he just feeds off of powerful psychic.
That's always been my intention, but the way they portrayed it in that last issue, it seemed like they met and they're best buds and they're doing cool things together, like Doug and Warlock. They're collabing. Yeah. They're doing a collab, you know.
Collabing it up, and this is where we're at now.
We go to the Green Lagoon, and. Is that Dazzler singing? I can't tell. I wanted to know who was on the stage, but I couldn't really tell.
There's two people on the stage, and I can't. One of them, I think, is Dazzler. The other one, I'm not sure.
I have no. Yeah, I'm not sure. But we go to the official Reading reception of Cypher and Bay the Blood Moon. And this is when we get kind of, we get Sunspot, we get Roberto and Cannonball. Look at them, man. Look at the them drawn in this. Woof. Interesting.
They look like they're 50 years old.
Right.
Look like current day Harrison Ford. What's going on? this artwork is all over the place.
It is a little all over the place, but it's weird. But it's good to see Sunspot here. And he's pretty much busting Cypher's balls for the most part. And even Magic comes in and busts his balls and just like, I thought you were going to go off to death. Look at you. Look at you here. And she's and Doug's just like, you literally told me I was going to die. Like, playing it all serious. And she's like, yeah, that was a good time, wasn't it?
I trolled you. Blob looks like John Candy.
Blob is getting more John Candy like, especially with that mustache that he has.
And he's got the Hawaiian like
Hawaiian shirt.
It's kind of funny. Weird.
One day.
But yeah, Bae's not too happy that Magic's giving noogies to Doug.
Yeah, nah, he's not digging it, and she's Magic's even just like, you know what, you want to get on these noogies, you want to get out on this, and we get nothing from Bae, and she said, Magic's like, you're right, that was rude. He's yours now. You have all the noogies.
Passes welcome, him off.
Welcome to the family, and yeah, passes him off to Bae.
Jesus.
And then, so everyone's parting, and as that's happening, we cut to Honey Badger, and she's walking around looking for Dakin, and that's when we get Omega Red saying that line. He's like, you're at a party. Omega. Oh, sorry, yeah, Kid Omega. He's like, we're at a party. Why so glum, bite-sized Wolverine?
It's bite-sized, not pocket-sized.
Not pocket-sized, okay. Yeah, bite-sized.
Pocket-sized,
pocket-sized works, too.
Bite-sized works, too.
But yeah, she's just like, I'm looking for Dakin. We're supposed to meet. And everyone around, it looks like Phoebe is just like, hey, we're at a party, just have fun, chill.
Yeah, they keep reiterating that. They keep going, like, she walks around Solemn to literally everybody and anyone who, because even Cosmos will show up and she's like doing the same thing. And everyone just keeps going, just dance, just party, woo. And they're like, I'm so alone. I'm the most alone I've ever been in this people surrounding me, saying they love me, care about me, ask me to be happy. I am happy in my lonesomeness.
Yeah.
Where's Dakin?
And she finds Dakin and bounces. And they're just like, well, okay. Even Phoebe's just like, well, I tried. And that's when we kind of cut to... we get a little moment between Cannonball. Look at how tall and lanky looking Cannonball is looking in some of these panels, by the way.
His hair grows too. His hair gets longer and longer. It's weird.
Yes. And we get like some drunken shenanigans between Sam and Roberto about being on the dance floor and whatnot. But then we cut to kind of Warlock making note about Rain being all alone, right? That's when we cut back to Rain and Anole, which Anole here looking like an adult, but you know, earlier looking like a child. Frustrated.
Yeah, like he aged up by like 15 years.
He's fucking ended. Bartender now.
Yeah.
But earlier he was acting like a child. I really don't get it.
Well, Disney regulations. Children can't handle them.
Right.
In this group full of teenagers who clearly are all drink. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Weird. But as it's happening, Danny and Rain kind of talk again, and it's
about the exact same stuff.
Same stuff, right? Nothing new, right? Yeah. They're talking.
Everything seems to be coalescing in a spiral of just repetition.
It's frustrating.
But they're all their stories are colliding in the same spiral. So they're all now like because Cosmos comes out now, and everyone's just like, "Hey, what's up?" And she's just like, "I'm sad."
I'm sad.
It's next to, close to where Rain is, and they're all sad. And then you can see Scout in the background, just like all doing their best sad impersonations of each other.
Right.
Hey, there's Dupe in the background.
Did you see? I was just about to say that. Did you see Dupe in that panel back there?
Yeah, just with the curly hair all weird looking.
But yeah, this is, it's all kind of converging as she's as Rain's kind of moping about her fucking child, and this is when Cosmar kind of comes in and is like, all right, I'm gonna ask her. This is my moment, and this is when I'm gonna ask her to the Crucible, essentially.
She's please gonna, murder me in a death gauntlet.
Right? It's so funny. And that's when she kind of walks up to Danny while they're having that conversation, more or less the conversation that's just all like, I don't know what to do. I'm glad like both Karma and Cosmar saved this comic, because if it wasn't for them, this comic would just be my baby, the whole issue.
There's nothing more important than what you're feeling in this moment right now. My baby. Just, you're so right to feel these things that you feel the way you feel them.
Oh god. But yeah, she walks up to Danny and that's when she's just all like, yo, I respect you, I really like your work, I really everything you do and everything you do, what you put into Krakoa, all that, really like what you're doing here, top tier stuff. I was wondering if you could be the person that stabs me and murders me in the Crucible. And as it's happening, we get like panels of what is it? Rainboy and
No Girl,
and they're just all like, they're kind of cheering her on and whatnot in the background. And that's when kind of Honey Badger comes up and whatnot. And she's like, check it out, she's about to ask the question, yo, and whatnot. And
yeah, Honey Badger couldn't care less.
She's just like, okay. And that's when she takes a long time to ask this question. She's still kind of getting it out. Unfortunately.
Well, she's like a middle school kid trying to ask someone out.
Yeah, it really is.
Stuttered up to that point. But when she pops it out, it's like, I like how Noel just swoops in, because they're still working in that weird unison that they developed from being kind of under the tutelage of the Shadow King. He like puts it on blast. He's like, you hear that? I fucking asked her to go to the Crucible with her. Oh my gosh, what an honor.
What an asshole.
Danny just shuts it down like instantly. She's like, I'm not doing that. The Crucible's people who don't have powers. You still have your power and you're beautiful the way you are. And it was just like, crush. And yeah. She just runs off screaming and crying and emotionally unstable.
Yeah. And yeah, Noel being kind of the virtue signaler in the whole thing, making things worse. Why'd you have to call him?
Yeah, she's like, I'll go after and help her. And he's like, no, you've done enough. It's like,
bitch, you made this worse. I don't know. I don't like Noel. Or at least how they're playing him now. But she runs off.
He's kind of mindless because of his control of the... It's almost as if they're purposely making him like this to kind of hint more that the Shadow King has got his claws into how they perceive things.
I assume.
They're purposely being pushed towards... I think he wants her to go into the Crucible because that'll probably cause something that he can take advantage of, or some sort of catastrophe maybe. Mm. And so that's why Noel is driven to kind of motivate her into doing that, where they create this kind of peer pressure structure amongst their weird little quasi group that they built to kind of reinforce that idea and push it forward.
Right.
So now they're operating without even realizing that they want to make that come to pass. And that's why they're comforting her and like pushing everyone away. In almost a Orwellian sense, or no, more of like a zombie-like sense, where they don't realize they've been hijacked.
And then we get this tonal issue, which threw me off, where like, you know, I said earlier, if this was me, it'd be like, you know, give her space, she'll be good. And essentially that's what we get from Rain. She's like, it'll be fine, she just needs some space, talk to her tomorrow and whatnot. I'm like, bitch, you were just complaining about your child, take your own advice.
Take it, just give it time, like let the things play out. I mean, you're immortal now, what's the rush with everyone?
Yeah, they should have gave that line to someone else, I feel.
Well, I mean, they were making magic hypocritical earlier, too. It's all ridiculous. Apparently the Shadow King is just standing in the crowd while everyone's dancing, because they instantly went from this like heated moment to like, and now we dance. And then the Shadow King toasts everyone. And then the married couple kiss. And you're still thinking like, what is going on?
Right?
Can they see it? Can they not? Any of this matter? Why is X of Swords still coming up in this? I couldn't care about fucking Bane the Blood Moon any less.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get this. I assume it's making the assumption that he's getting his claws, his sticky claws tighter. His grip is getting tighter amongst some of these mutants. But it's just weird. He's just hanging out in the background.
Yeah, I mean, if they're implying that he's in there in secret, no one else can see him, and that he's functioning right out in the open without people knowing, there's not anything really to lead us to believe that. There isn't enough to make us doubt that he's there. It just shows him there and there are people around him. And he says, to our great future and young love. He even cheers to them, like, as they're kissing.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. This is definitely not the worst New Mutants issue because we didn't go to Nebraska and Brisson didn't touch it, but it's definitely middling at best.
Agreed. It's throwing a lot of mixed messages. I'll give you that.
Oh, it's definitely sending the message that Wolfsbane, Honey Badger, and someone else was sad. Oh, Cosmos.
Yeah, their feelings. There's a lot of feelings. That's what they wanted us to know for sure.
They're unhappy in paradise.
I'm hoping the Dakin Honey Badger thing, I don't know, plays off. I don't think it is. I assume she's going to spiral more and then fall into the hands of the Shadow King. So,
that would be interesting if it coalesces in that way and all their paths cross in some sort of greater.
I hope so, or else this is really weird, forced nonsense between Honey Badger and like her siblings for no reason.
Maybe they're trying to use this as like a conduit to like character develop these three, but it's the way that they've progressed so far in the last two issues hasn't really done much. It seems like we've been stuck in this, except for that radical jump for Wolfsbane. That was the only thing that kind of changed in a most notable way, but that was almost too aggressive. It's like the other two have been relatively the same. This one was just like, Wolfsbane's now fucking like having postpartum depression?
Okay. Sure, I guess. If that's like what you really want to crux the story into, but okay.
Let's bring it back, folks. I like before they kissed, before Bay and Doug kissed, I like that Sunspot came in and said, like, parties are for dancing. I'm going to borrow your bride. And she starts dancing with Bay.
Bay just swooped her. I think that was like a dick maneuver, like putting his dick on the table.
This
would remind you who's in charge of it. I mean,
it's like his version of Prima Nocta.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a dancer there beforehand.
I just want everyone to be reminded that I am a New Mutants A team member. This B team does not matter. Technically, we're dealing with New Mutants C team at this moment, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
We're getting down in the trenches, folks. But yeah, that'll do it for this issue. It's a weird one. It was all over the place. They were definitely, it felt like an Avengers 2 type of comic where it's like you set up more than told a story, but.
Like also the Thor 2 Dark World.
Thor 2 Dark World 2. Yeah, you're just.
We're trying to bridge movies. We're not trying to make movies.
Trying to bridge them. But yeah, hopefully your threads pay off. That's the problem with these comics. When and where. And
well, I mean, they've added so much more off of what they'd already built, and they hadn't finished those threads. I mean, it doesn't seem like that's the game plan here. It's not paying off on things. It's how many more things can we stack on these already bloated ideas.
Right. Welcome to comics. Welcome. It's unfortunate. But
Wolverine 9 next time.
So. Wolverine 9, folks. And we got some X-Men, man. That X-Men's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited.
That one, art alone, made that issue worth it.
Yeah. Wolverine 9, folks, it's going to be good. In this issue, the issue's great, but it's about his hand, and I want to know who cleans his hand and made it all clean. I just want to know whose job it was to make that.
Yeah, I am curious as to how that hand has maintained its quality, because I don't ever see his body parts regrow and cut off him. He doesn't grow another Wolverine, so I don't know. what's going on there.
Yeah.
But we'll dive into that.
We'll dive into that, folks. But that'll do it for us this week. Be sure to do all the stuff. I'm talking shit on Twitter with some people. So join us there. But that'll do it for us. Remember, the robots will kill you. So go confuse yourself with the Jim Jarmusch movie, man. Go out there. Get a little
deep dive into some Jarmusch.
Yeah, Jarmusch. Get in there.
Bathe in that Jarmusch.
I don't know about that. Take a light shower. Take a 3-minute shower in some Jarmusch.
Deep dive into the Jarmusch. You're not gonna get it unless you go in and then back.
It's like ice water, right? You just gotta hop. You gotta go full in there. Yes, right?
It's exactly.
Oh man, yeah. So get on that, folks.
Yeah.